Everything about reality seems so much dimmer and flatter the morning after. It's like someone hammered a spigot into the sky and drained the last remaining specks of tint out of it. I think I slept a total of 3 hours, so I have this intense, anesthetized feeling that I can't seem to shake, not even with 2 cafe macchiatos ravaging my bloodstream. And being at school on a Sunday, thanks to the Department of Education's newly adopted semi-standard 7 schedule, is only making it worse. I forgot to do my math homework and was late to tech ed, which allowed Mr. Herbert the opportunity to give me another 20 demerits. Now I'm only 1 away from detention. After adjusting my O2 shield, I pull up the hood of my sweater to ward off the chill, tucking my hands into the pockets of my skirt. I walk through the long stretch of campus connecting the 15-story hexagon-shaped building, where my classmates and I spend most of our days toiling away for 8.5 hours straight toward the dark, round building that houses the cafeteria. Along the way, I'm doing all I can to compartmentalize everything that happened yesterday into the tiniest little quadrant in my brain, far away from all the receptors that process memories and pain. I try to concentrate on hopeful stuff, like how I woke up to a fresh-faced mom making breakfast in the kitchen, how we chatted about Catherine's party over a stack of hot pancakes covered in agave syrup, how she tossed in a load of laundry consisting of only her canary-colored scrubs because she's going back to work at the hospital tonight. It wasn't easy skipping the unsettling details. My odd night out with Josh, and how awful I felt after coming back from Illusion with Patrick. I just didn't want to spoil the upbeat mood she was in. If she is getting her life back on track this time, I don't want anything to get in her way, especially me. As I reach the cafeteria doors, I quickly take off my O2 shield and shove it in my bag, then swipe my pass card in front of the code reader. Once I'm inside, I'm hit with a remarkably gross stench. My eyes flick over to today's menu, which is scrolling on a digital blue screen above the chow line. Miso meatballs with hemp hearts.
Ugh.
I cringe as I peruse the rest of the menu while an ocean of kids rushes into the cafeteria to meet up with friends, unapologetically bumping into me and bouncing me around like an anchorless raft adrift in the fluoropetro-polluted waters of Lake St. Clair. I really don't feel like dealing with the raucousness of the lunchroom today and would spend an entire period in the library if I could. But our passcodes are all GPS-encoded, and a monitor would hunt me down in less than 5 minutes. I squint in the bright halogen lights, looking for a familiar face. The cafeteria is about half the size of a football field. In fact, it's so big that when the air quality is in the negatives, the track team uses this room for practice. In the past, each grade used to eat together, but the school has gotten too big to do that, so there are now 8 lunch periods, each lasting for exactly a half hour, the first beginning at 10:30 a.m., as a result, most of us go through the day eating really early or really late, and almost all of us are always hungry. At lunchtime, we usually don't fool around with chit-chat. We just eat. But today, something is different. Hardly anyone is paying attention to their food. Instead, everyone is frantically typing away at their tabs and talking excitedly among themselves. "Regan!" I hear someone call out from the center of the room. My eyes shift around, trying to locate the source of the voice, and land on Zoe Morgan, who is waving both her arms at me. Her black hair is pulled back in a tight, side-swept braid, and she's wearing a snug gray cardigan and tiny blue cargo skirt with ruched knee-high black boots. Actually, if those heels were any higher, she'd definitely be on the verge of a dress code violation. I look down at my choice of shoes and remember that since I was running late this morning, I grabbed the first pair of shoes I could find, which just happened to be my mom's gray rubber clogs. Great. Just great. I pull my hair into a low ponytail as I walk over to Zoe's table, which is occupied by a crew of popular seniors. I take a seat in between her and Jane Gonzalez, one of the best-known student council representatives at Hill Sector High, who manages to squeak out a hello without taking her eyes off her tablet. Zoe doesn't even bother doing either. Have you heard from Patrick today?